I'm so proud of you. Ain't no cold weather going to stop you from worshiping. Way to go. It's great to be with you today. We're going to celebrate communion a little bit differently today, and you'll understand why later. But because of that, we're going to do our offering time right now, and our ushers are ready to come serve you. And what a great transition. God is worthy of our praise. And one of the ways we praise is by giving back to the God who has given so much to us. There's so many different ways to give to God through Good Shepherd. If you brought something with you, we invite you to put that in the basket as an act of worship and gratitude. And while those baskets are going around, I wanted to update you on our fresh look for our connection cards. This is a family. We want to connect as a family. And we have some cards in the pockets and the seat backs that help us to do that. If you came in here today with a prayer on your heart, put that on the yellow card as always, and we'd love to pray with you and pray for you. We also now have a new white connect card. And this is a card that anybody can use to ask for information, to volunteer, to serve. And if this is your first time with us, we'd love to welcome you in person. Just check either first time or second time guest, and you can take that to our front desk for a free drink at our cafe just to say thanks for hanging out with us. We're so glad that you're here. And as we transition to the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides. And there's one more sheet. There's a green sheet in there that says sermon notes and response card. This is a two-way communication tool. You can jot down things that God speaks to you through the message. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what God says to you so we can pray for you and support you. As we get ready to enter into the message, I invite you to join me in prayer. Gracious God, we love you. We come here today from all sorts of different places with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Our church is wrapping up a mini-series called Calming the Chaos. Have any of you ever experienced chaos in your life? Just checking, I'm not the only one? Okay, good. We've been exploring biblical wisdom for how to calm the chaos. Week one, our topic was too much work, not enough rest. Pastor Mark preached about Sabbath. Week two, our theme was too much noise, not enough peace. Pastor Glenn preached on shalom. Today, our topic is too much me, not enough we. When I found out that I was preaching on this topic, I thought, this is gonna be awesome. I'm a huge fan of we. I brought my Wii remote control, and I thought we could play some Wii bowling or Wii golf. The world needs more Wii, people. But in all seriousness, did you know that the name we is a play on the English word we, W-E? And this was intentional because the people who designed the video game console were focused on relationships and bringing people together for fun. I appreciate their we mindset. We live in a world that's more often focused on me than on we. Dennis Waitley wrote a book called Empires of the Mind. He reports that there are approximately 450,000 words in the English language. It may not surprise you that the most commonly used words are I, me, my, and mine. We live in a me generation. We're constantly bombarded with messages that reinforce a me mindset. You may have heard the famous slogan from Burger King, have it your way. Well, they're changing it now to be your way. And the message goes way beyond burgers. A spokesperson for the company said, people can and should live how they want anytime. And that might sound good, but a me mindset is very dangerous and destructive. Martin Luther described the essence of sin with the Latin phrase incurvatus in se. It literally means to be curved in on yourself, to think more about yourself than others, to put your needs, your wants before others. And the results are disastrous. I mean, think about driving, for example. What happens when people zoom in and out of traffic thinking only about themselves and where they want to go? What happens when people are more focused on their phone and what's going on there than what's happening on the road around them? It can and does lead to accidents, injury, even death. And the results are no less disastrous in other areas. Think about the chaos that ensues in our world when countries or political leaders think more about themselves than others, put their wants, needs above others. Think about the chaos that ensues in the marketplace when a boss or coworker thinks more about themselves than others, puts their needs, wants above others. Think about the chaos that ensues in the home when a spouse or family member thinks more about themselves than others, puts their needs and wants above others. And while we're at it, think about the chaos that ensues in churches when people think more about themselves, put their needs, wants above others. It's disastrous. Thankfully, we can calm the chaos, and the Bible teaches us how. If you have a Bible or Bible app with you today, I invite you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I'll be reading the NIV or the New International Version. Turns out, God's a big fan of we, not W-I-I, but W-E. A me mindset destroys relationships, but a we mindset builds them up. And God shows us how to play with a we mindset. Before we read, to give you some background, Philippians is a letter that was written to a church at Philippi. Philippi was located to the right of Greece at the northern coast of the Aegean Sea. Philippi was a wee church. It was started by a team of Paul, Silas, Timothy, and maybe even Luke. This letter was a wee letter. It was co-written by Paul and his apprentice, Timothy. Paul noticed a me mindset tearing their church apart, and he wrote to address it. If you read through the whole letter, which I encourage you to do this week, we find all kinds of examples of how a me mindset was destroying relationships. To give you a little bit more context, Philippi was a cosmopolitan city, and their church had a diverse mix. In the same church, you had a wealthy businesswoman named Lydia and a slave girl. In the same church, you had a Roman jailer and former prisoners. This inequity of status became a breeding ground for prejudice and jealousy. Paul heard people bragging. He saw people looking down on others, treating others poorly. He noticed people going into ministry for their own selfish ambition, just to get ahead. He was bothered by the way they handled conflict. There was complaining, arguing, vicious disagreements. In his letter, he even calls out two women in particular. Their names are Euodia and Syntyche, because they were having a vicious disagreement that was tearing the church apart. The sad thing was they had worked with Paul hard to tell other people the good news about Jesus, and now they were letting a disagreement distract and divide them. They were letting their me get in the way of we. Even today, sincere Christians can allow little disagreements to distract us and to divide us. Paul addresses this by pointing us back to Jesus. It turns out God's a big fan of we. God shows us how to play with a we mindset. I invite you to stand as you're able as I read Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Paul writes, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We give thanks for God's word. I invite you to be seated. God is a big fan of we. Our God is a we God. One of the beautiful mysteries of our faith is that God exists as three in one. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, living together in perfect harmony. And our we God has a we mindset. We see this most profoundly through Jesus. Scholars believe that this passage was an ancient hymn that reflects the remarkable mindset of Jesus. And I wanted to share a modern song with you that I think does the same. The song is called How Many Kings by Down Here. The chorus says, how many kings step down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Wow. Both of these songs beautifully capture the we mindset of Jesus. I mean, Jesus is God. He's the Lord and King of the universe. If anyone had a right to assert his position, it was Jesus. If anyone had a right to demand, I want to have it my own way, it was Jesus. But we see quite the opposite, don't we? Jesus humbled himself for our advantage. If you want to lift someone up, you have to go beneath them. And that's what Jesus did for us. He humbled himself to become a human. He gave up the splendor of heaven for the limitations and sufferings of earth. And he was willing to go so low as to die a criminal's death, one of the most humiliating, excruciating deaths, to save us. Now, does it sound like Jesus was thinking more about himself or more about us? He was thinking about us. He was thinking about everyone who's broken and how he could put you back together. He was thinking about everyone who is lost and how he could help you find your way. He was thinking about everyone who feels empty and how he can fill you up. He was thinking about everyone who's hurting and how he can comfort you. Everyone who's done wrong and how he can forgive you. He was thinking about everyone who feels alone and how he could bring you back into a relationship with God and God's people. He was thinking about everyone who's been impacted by death and how he could give you hope. Do you think Jesus was putting his needs and wants above ours? No, again. He's putting our needs above his. Jesus knew that you would need a Savior. You would need someone to save you from sin and death and give you a new life. And he was willing to sacrifice his life to save yours. That's how valuable you are to Jesus. He lived the perfect life you could never live. He paid the perfect price for your wrongs that you could never pay. And he won the perfect victory over death that you could never win. And while a we mindset cost Jesus greatly, it came with tremendous benefits. Jesus humbled himself, but the Heavenly Father exalted him. Jesus died, but God raised him from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit and exalted him to the highest position. And now, through his death and resurrection, all people who trust in Jesus can build a new relationship with God and God's people forever. Now, I know some of you may not believe in God yet. I'm so glad you're here. But just track with me for a moment. If a God like that really exists, wouldn't you want to be in a relationship with that God? Paul was so excited to tell everybody about this amazing God we have. And he said, when you enter into a relationship with Jesus, when you experience his love, it changes everything, including our mindset. In Philippians 2:5, Paul wrote, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. We're called to imitate and follow the mindset of our Savior. Paul practiced what he preached. If you read through the letter, which I hope you do this week, we see many examples of Paul's we mindset. Give you a few. Paul had been arrested and put in prison for sharing his faith. But he was okay with suffering in prison because he knew that it was helping other people. In Philippians 1:13-14, he wrote, as a result, it's become clear through the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Paul was happy making sacrifices in his life when he knew that it benefited others. Philippians 2:17, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Paul's apprentice, Timothy, embodied the we mindset. In Philippians 2:20, he wrote, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. And as special as Timothy was to Paul, Paul was willing to give him away, to send him to Philippi to benefit the believers there. While a we mindset cost Paul greatly, it came with tremendous benefits. Remember, a me mindset destroys relationships. A we mindset builds them up. And it is clear that Paul built some incredible relationships with the church in Philippi. He had a deep love and a close bond. In Philippians 1:8, he wrote, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And the Philippians became partners with Paul in ministry. They stood side by side. They fought for the gospel with him. Just as Paul had their back, they had Paul's. In the letter, he talks about how they sent a man named Epaphras who risked his life to help Paul while he was in prison. Many times, the Philippians sent money to Paul when he was in need. Paul experienced both the costs and the benefits of a we mindset. And at the end, he said, you got to do this. And he encouraged the church to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This was a relevant message for the church at Philippi. And I think it's a relevant message still today. We live in a me generation that constantly reinforces a me mindset. But particularly, I think this is a relevant message for our church as we're going through a season of transition. Next week, we're going to be saying goodbye to Pastor Gary. And we're welcoming Mark as our new senior pastor. Pastor Mark is a great person, but change is hard. And it would be so much easier during this time of transition to slip back into a me mindset, to think more about what I want than the greater good of the whole, to put my needs, my wants before others, to let little disagreements distract us and divide us. And Paul said, you can't let that happen. We are to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. I find the language mindset helpful. Paul wrote this letter in Greek, and the original word there is phroneo. It literally means setting your mind. You know how we have to set our clocks when the time changes? Well, most of them switch naturally now, but there are a few we still have to intentionally set. When Jesus comes into our life, he brings a change different from our normal setting. We are used to having our minds set to a me mindset. And it takes us intentionally setting our mind to we. Thankfully, we don't have to do this by our own power. In Philippians 2:13, Paul writes, it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purposes. So we can ask God to help us set our mind from me to we. Our part involves taking intentional steps towards that we mindset. Sometimes this can be a lot of fun. This past week, I invited our lead team to come with me to watch a volleyball game at Lewis. I used to play volleyball at Lewis, and I enjoy watching the games just on my own. But man, it was so much more fun sharing the game with these amazing guys. And this outing, it strengthened our partnership, and it deepened our sense of we. So sometimes this can be a lot of fun. Other times, it's a little bit more challenging, and the steps require leaning hard into God for help. And Paul outlines some of the steps in our reading. In Philippians 2:2, Paul says, "Be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." We will have disagreements, but the key is to stay united around the things that matter most. My wife and I have a phrase that we use when we have conflict in our marriage. Yes, pastors have conflict in their marriage. Our phrase is, "Our marriage is bigger than this, and we will work through this together." Perhaps a good phrase for a church in conflict, "The gospel is bigger than this. The good news of Jesus, the mission of God in this world are bigger than this, and we will work through this together." Later in Philippians, Paul gave a great suggestion for people who are in disagreement. In chapter 3, verses 15 to 16, Paul says, "If you disagree with someone, try to find something in the Bible that you do agree on, anything, and work on that together." That was brilliant. He goes on, Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit." I was surprised during my research online, I came across many articles that said it's good to be selfish. It's good to put yourself first. And I think what they're advocating for is to take care of yourself. And that is good. God wants us to take care of ourselves. We talked about that in week one. But where we cross the line and enter the danger zone of selfishness, it's not when we think about ourselves, but when we think more about ourselves than others. When we put our wants and needs before others. Going on, Philippians 2:3, "In humility, value others above yourself." It's easy to see what's bad in other people. But Paul challenges us to look for what's good, especially in that person that you'd rather write off. Choose to see the value that God put in them when God made them. Choose to value them the way that God does. Choose to value them enough to make sacrifices for their benefit. You might be thinking, "They don't deserve it." Well, guess what? We don't deserve what Jesus did for us either. You might be thinking, "But I don't even like them." Well, guess what? You're not always that likable either. And we definitely weren't likable when Jesus came to save us. Now, hear me very clearly. This is not a license for abuse. That is never okay. But it is a license for humble service. It is a call to sacrifice your rights to benefit others. It's a mindset. One more step, Philippians 2:4, "Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." This may be the hardest. Don't just think about yourself. Think of others. Think about what's going on in the world. Think about what's going on around you. Think about other people, what they want, what they need. Think about how your actions affect other people. Think about what's best for the whole. And then with God's help, humbly make sacrifices to benefit others. While a we mindset, it will cost us, it does come with tremendous benefits. Remember, a me mindset destroys relationships. A we mindset builds them up. And through a we mindset, we get to build beautiful relationships and a more beautiful world. I was thinking this week about what God is doing in and through people in our church who have a we mindset. We have a man in our church who delivers for FedEx. He's busy, got lots to do. Yet he noticed a homeless man on his route. And now he's been regularly stopping to pray with him, to give him food and clothing. There was a family in our congregation who inherited some money. And they thought, how can I help others? And they asked me if they could give an anonymous gift this Christmas to someone in need. And I had the joy of being able to share and deliver that gift and see the tears of joy in the recipient. There was a woman who recently turned 80. She could have used her birthday party to celebrate herself. Instead, she gave $80 to each of her grandchildren and said, go bless someone else and tell me the story. There's a couple who's been bringing their son to worship who has special needs. Their son can be loud and they're worried about distracting people. But several times during worship, they've had people put a hand on their shoulder and say, we're so glad that you're here. I spoke to a young adult who has been the target of racism and discrimination. And he said coming to our church was so refreshing because he felt for the first time that he was loved and accepted as a child of God. There's a young mom who's using her battle with cancer to encourage other people through her social media posts. On our day off, our family's been trying to think about other people. And one simple thing that we've been doing is writing cards. Recently, we sent a card to my wife's grandmother, who's very ill. And look at how much joy a simple card brought her. God is a big fan of we and shows us how to play with the we mindset. Jesus humbled himself for our advantage. So as you go through the chaos of life, ask yourself, do I have a me mindset or a we mindset? And if you need an adjustment, ask God to help you set your mind from me to we. Stay united. Don't be selfish. Value others. Think of others. Because a me mindset destroys relationships, but a we mindset builds them up. At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card. And I'm actually going to try some new technology with this response card. I need your help. So if you like the paper version, you have that. If you put your name and email, write your response. You can hand it to me on your way out, and I promise to pray for you and write to you. But today I want to offer a new option, an option to text. You can text GSC space sermon to 313131 and send me a confidential response card. This is actually an experiment, so I need your help. If you would prefer the paper, fill that out and send it in. If you would prefer the text, text me. That way I know how to best move forward and engage in the best way possible. And right now, we're going to engage in a moment and just pray and say, God, what do you want me to do in response to the scripture and message today? How can I respond? So take some silence with God.